listening to the G-Ray Records Music Network. You enjoy.
Stacking high, every verse a battle fought. No middleman cutting, I'm the boss of my own lane. Freedom tastes sweeter, unchained, uncontained. Independent grind, my story's mine to tell. No strings pulling me, I'm breaking every spell. Southern roots, deep harmonies fill the air. Free to sing my truth, I'm beyond compare. I'm claiming my throne. Independent grind, my story's mine to tell. No strings pulling me, I'm breaking every spell. Southern roots, deep harmonies fill the air. Free to sing my truth, I'm beyond compare. They said I needed them, laughed in their face. Turned the mic on, now I'm setting the pace. Control my narrative, no edits, no. This is my anthem. Watch my flame rise. Yeah,
welcome to a deep dive into the fascinating and sometimes fraught evolution of the independent music business. You sent us a really intriguing stack of sources, including a candid YouTube discussion from Doggy Diamonds TV and a research piece from G-Ray Records, all sort of wrestling with this provocative question. Did Master P indirectly ruin the independent music business, or did he just rewrite its rules?
Yeah, it's a compelling question because Master P's rise in the 90s was, undeniably revolutionary. He absolutely shattered the traditional major label model, became a mogul who, fundamentally shifted the entire paradigm for artists.
So our mission today is to unpack Master P's original blueprint, maybe explore the powerful and sometimes unintended ripple effects that followed. And then let's fast forward to 2025, see how the independent music landscape has transformed. For you, maybe you're a modern artist navigating this world or, just a curious observer. So where do we even begin to untangle this this fascinating evolution?
Well, we have to start with Percy Miller, right? Master P. Because he wasn't just a rapper. He was like an economic disruptor.
Hmm.
I think the most foundational piece of his blueprint was that deal with Priority Records. What's truly fascinating here is the 85-15 profit split he secured in favor of No Limit Records. Just to put that in perspective, major labels back then were typically offering artists, maybe 10-20%? So Master P's deal was just revolutionary, almost unheard of at the time. That move alone, it instantly made him a folk hero for any entrepreneurial artist out there.
Right. And he didn't just walk into that deal, did he? He built the leverage himself. He took the West Coast Bay Hustle, that gritty kind of grassroots approach, selling records out of trunks, literally from the back of cars, bypassing traditional distribution. And the independent record shop model, too. He brought that whole direct-to-consumer philosophy to New Orleans. It was pure DIY before anyone even had a catchy name for it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just the distribution deal that made it a machine. His prolific output was key. He released albums at this relentless pace, used in-house producers, cultivated a really signature visual brand. Mm-hmm. No Limit became almost like a factory, you know, where the brand's logo, that iconic tank, became as recognizable, maybe even more important, than any individual artist on the roster.
Yeah, and this machine-like model, it didn't just generate massive revenue. It fundamentally shifted how artists could own their masters, control their destiny. But then, with such groundbreaking success, well, then came a truly fascinating and maybe unintended consequence, didn't it?
It did, yeah. That YouTube discussion you shared, it really dives into this idea that masterpiece success inspired this wave of what they call fake masterpiece in neighborhoods all across America. The core issue wasn't the blueprint itself, it seems, but the misinterpretation of it. Many saw his success and just thought, okay, it's a drug flip mentality translated to music.
Ah, okay. So they invested money from other ventures, maybe illegal ones, expecting the same kind of quick, high returns, like a put 20 in, need to see 40 or 60 back scenario, treating music like a quick hustle, not a real business.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Exactly. They lacked a fundamental understanding of how the music business actually functions. You know, proper LLCs, tax implications, setting up legitimate offices, or even the crucial role of an A&R.
Right. The artists and repertoire people, the talent scouts and developers.
Yeah, the ones who work closely with artists on their creative vision and career path. Doggy Diamonds shares these anecdotes, seeing these hustlers in charge of labels just lacking any executive knowledge, no understanding of rollout strategies, radio promotion, commercial viability, none of it.
He even points to the Black Mafia family, BMF, as an example. They had, I mean, vast amounts of money, right? But even with top artists in production, they couldn't make it work in music. It's almost ironic, isn't it? Having all that capital and still missing that fundamental key piece.
It really speaks volumes about how distinct these industries are. As the source puts it, the crack game is not like the dope game. The customers ain't even the same.
Mm.
That hustler model, it just didn't translate. And this led to a lot of talent, a lot of relationships just getting ruined because these fake masterpieces didn't believe in long-term artist development. For them, it was always about the immediate money flip.
And this fake master P model, it wasn't static, right? It sort of adapted as the industry itself shifted.
Oh, absolutely. Initially, yeah, it was pressing up shirts and CDs, basic stuff. Then as physical media evolved, it moved into DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
The belief became all you got to do is get on the DVD and boom, an artist would blow up.
Right, like paying to appear on those popular street DVDs, the Come Up, Cocaine City, Smack.
Exactly those.
So the underlying issue persisted, just on a different medium, treating talent as a short-term flip.
Precisely. The source describes these DVD scenes, like 20 people standing around and the CEO is just a hustler using street slang, totally unable to conduct a proper business meeting. It's kind of wild to picture. And then inevitably, it migrated to digital. Doggy Diamonds notes he was actually ahead of the digital wave, even when these fake masterpieces were telling him back in 98, you know, you can't make money from computers.
Wow, that highlights a really crucial difference, doesn't it? While others were still stuck in that physical mindset, he was already exploring e-commerce, torrents.
Exactly. And predictably, the fake masterpieces, they adapted this flawed, all you gotta do is mentality again. But this time, for the digital age. Thinking appearing on a website like, say, World Star Hip Hop would guarantee success. They'd often promise artists free access, free promotion, only to, you know, lie to them later. It was the same pattern.
So let's get to the core of it then. What was the fundamental difference between Masterpiece Blueprint, which worked, and the copycats that ultimately just, well, ruined talent?
Well, what's really fascinating here, I think, is Masterpiece's background. He actually came from retail. He owned a record store. This wasn't just about moving product off a shelf. It taught him about ordering, inventory management, distribution channels, understanding consumer demand, you know, the actual mechanics of a legitimate business.
Ah, okay. So the fake Master P lacked that foundational business knowledge. Their expertise was purely the street hustle, not the retail enterprise.
That's it, basically. Okay. That lack of grounding in actual business principles.
And that explains why Master P could sustain success, build a roster, put out so many artists, while the copycats just left this trail of ruined careers behind them.
That's exactly right. Master P truly put New Orleans on the map in a huge way. He genuinely seemed to believe in getting his artists out there, good or bad, for the long haul. build something real. The fake masterpiece, they just never looked at it as a long-term investment in talent. For them, like we said, it was always about that immediate money flip.
You mentioned Doggy Diamonds has this passionate argument that music is forever, it's not a drug flip. What does he really mean by that? You know, the inherent value of art versus just a purely transactional business approach.
Well, he emphasizes that music, you know, talent itself, isn't just another commodity to be flipped. He sees it as something that comes from the universe, meant to be given to the world. It's a long-term endeavor. It touches different cultures, different people, across generations. So treating it like some short-term investment, like a drug flip, it inherently devalues it. And as he states pretty clearly, it ruined countless relationships and careers because that mindset just doesn't respect the art form.
He even shares his own frustration, right? Being ahead of the curve with like sped up soul samples back in 1998, only to be told by these hustlers, nah, that sound won't work. Then years later, you get artists like Jay-Z coming out with the Blueprint album featuring similar sounds. And suddenly those same hustlers validated it. That must have been infuriating.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it raises a really important question for all of us, I think. How much talent was stifled? How much was misdirected or just never even heard? All because the people holding the purse strings, the ones with the money, had zero industry acumen. They were just calling the shots based on a flawed model. The source clearly shows that frustration, seeing your own authentic artistic vision dismissed, only to see it validated later when a more established artist does something similar. It's a stark reminder, really, of the cost of misplaced influence.
Okay, so if that was the past of independent music the landscape Master P navigated, and his copycats kind of distorted, how has it evolved? Where are we today in 2025? Our sources describe it as a whole new ecosystem.
Yeah, whole new ecosystem feels right. The independent music business now is, well, it's both more empowered and incredibly more crowded and complex. It's a paradox. On one hand, artists have this unprecedented creative control, mainly thanks to this explosion of new technology.
Okay, when you talk about unprecedented creative control through tech, what are some of the biggest game changers? What tools are really empowering artists now?
Well, you've got things like AI-powered production tools, Suno, Udio, those types of things. They let artists create full tracks, like literally in minutes. It democratizes access to high-quality sound in a way we've just never seen before. Then you have the direct-to-fan platforms, Bandcamp, Patreon, Substack. These are essential now. They let artists monetize their fan-base loyalty directly. Subscriptions, exclusive merch, you name it. And sync licensing. That's huge now. Getting music into TV, film, video games. It's a booming area and often way more lucrative than streaming because you might get a significant one-time fee or at least much higher royalties per use compared to, you know, fractions of a cent per stream.
That sounds almost like a dream for independent artists. Kind of a full circle back to Master P's direct-to-consumer idea, but digital. But there's a harsh economic reality sort of hidden in all this freedom, too, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a big catch. Despite the boom in tools and access, the source points out some sobering stats, like 84% of indie artists apparently can't afford a tour, and only about 7.4% make enough just from royalties to cover their basic expenses.
Wow. So touring, which used to be a lifeline, is now basically a luxury item.
Pretty much. And streaming still pays, you know, those infamous fractions of a cent per play. It makes having multiple revenue streams not just smart, but like a survival necessity. So it raises this interesting point. If Master P's original fight was for ownership and that 85-15 split in the physical world, how do artists today really secure that ownership when distribution is so fragmented and the currency is these tiny fractions of a cent? Are we maybe seeing a new kind of fake Master P exploiting these digital platforms for quick flips? Or has the industry genuinely matured beyond that kind of thing?
That's a heavy question. It sounds like it's not just about making great music anymore, not by a long shot. Artists also have to be really shrewd entrepreneurs, engaging content creators, dedicated community builders, the whole package.
Precisely. That indie brand is absolutely crucial now. Success really hinges on authentic storytelling, a consistent social media presence, building that community. Yeah, viral moments on TikTok or YouTube can definitely launch careers. We see that happen. But sustaining that momentum, that demands real strategy, not just hoping for luck.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the sources mention the lines blurring between independent and corporate.
Yeah, that's happening too. Major labels are definitely acquiring successful indie imprints, trying to capture that indie cool, maybe. But conversely, you also see artist-owned labels really on the rise. They're creating these little industries within the industry.
Yeah.
Some indie labels are even forming alliances, trying to band together to resist consolidation and maintain leverage. It's a dynamic space.
So what's next then? What can we expect looking forward in this ever-evolving landscape?
Well, probably more virtual concerts, more AI collaborations, both creative and maybe business-wise. Fan-powered funding models seem likely to grow too. The indie scene isn't just a stepping stone to a major label anymore. For a lot of artists, it is the destination.
But as one of the sources puts it, freedom without infrastructure can feel like chaos.
Yeah.
How does that tie back to Master P's legacy, do you think?
It's a great point. It raises this important question, right? While Master P's original blueprint was fundamentally about ownership and control, sustaining power today in this environment seems to require something deeper. Community, vision, really astute curation. Maybe the challenge isn't what Master P did, he built an empire with his blueprint. It's more about how the industry evolved after him, leaving authenticity constantly wrestling with scalability in this fragmented digital world we're in.
Wow, what a deep dive. From the blueprint Master P laid down, how its influence just cascaded through the independent music business, all the way from those unintended consequences, the drug flip mentality messing things up, to this tech-driven, yet still really economically challenging indie scene we see in 2025, it's clear the game has truly fundamentally changed.
Yeah, the conversation, it started with Master P, but it really ends up being about this ongoing tension, doesn't it, between artistic passion and business acumen. And how critical thinking is just so necessary now to navigate a world that's just flooded with information and, frankly, entrepreneurial aspirations, some good, some maybe not so good.
And as Doggy Diamonds passionately argues, you know, Master P did everything right. He was an icon. It was the copycats who caused the problems by not getting the true long-term value the infrastructure needed. So for you listening, maybe thinking about your own endeavors, or even just how you consume culture, what does it really mean when a groundbreaking blueprint gets copied without understanding its true foundation? Does success itself just inevitably invite poor imitations? And what does that end up costing the art and the artists themselves?
Something to think about. Remember, knowledge is most valuable when it's actually understood and applied correctly. Perhaps the real lesson here isn't just about the initial idea, the blueprint itself. Maybe true innovation lies in the nuanced understanding, the deliberate, long-term execution that has to follow. You know, the blueprint is only as good as the builder using it.
Definitely something to chew on. Until next time, keep thinking, keep listening, and keep diving deep.
Thank you for tuning in to the G. Ray Records podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to dive deeper into the subject matter, be sure to visit the G. Ray Records Podcast Network. You'll find more insightful discussion, exclusive content, and all the latest updates. Until next time, K. keep the music alive.
Out the mud, built my empire, no permission, saw paper stacking high, every verse of battle fought, no middleman cutting, I'm the boss of my own lane, freedom tastes sweeter, unchained, uncontained, independent grind, my story's mine to tell, no strings pulling me, I'm breaking every spell. Compare.